We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build. This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves, no matter where they came from. Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
I'm
it.
I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
Awesome, man. So what is it that you do, and why did you choose that?
So I'm a coach. I have had an interesting journey. I was an executive in the energy industry for 30 years. If you live in Texas, then you're familiar with ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas. You've heard of that, right?
I have actually never heard of that.
Okay. Well, they're the grid operator. They're the guys that run the big wires. Anyway, I was in deregulation, electricity markets, you know, when they deregulated electricity, and they did in Texas. And you can buy your juice from whoever you want, all that sort of stuff. So I did that kind of stuff for 30 years. I was in a market designer and an executive and blah, blah, blah. And about 2007, which is about 13 years ago, now, I had some life-altering experiences, some pretty dramatic divine interventions. And so I walked away from several lucrative contracts and high-ranking positions and decided I needed to do something else with life. I had had a pretty successful career doing difficult things. And I thought, how do I help people do impossible stuff? Because I'm pretty good at that. Gee, I think that's a coach. So I decided 13 years ago to do that, and went and did some studying and certifications as coaching. And I have been a business slash life coach, helping people do difficult, impossible things in business and life ever since then. And that's kind of the short version. I had a career and B career, and the mark was pretty dramatic. And that's how I got here.
That's awesome, man. So I imagine it's all about helping people now then.
It's 100%. I wake up every day thinking, how can I, my three life guiding words are love, create, serve. And the only thing I think of is how to help each person step into their divine nature and gifts. Because of the dramatic and otherworldly experience that I've had, I know that everybody's a divine creation and we have a purpose here. And when we live below our opportunities, we're wasting our strength and our capability, and we can serve each other so much better if we live into our divine nature and gifts. And I don't mean to sound too weird. I was a hardcore engineering sort of mathematician guy, but the answer is that's what I know. And so that's my dedication, is to help everyone recognize, acknowledge, search for, and live into that greatness.
That's beautiful, man. That's really what it's all about. And when you can live it, when you can live a life where you're serving people and you're making people, just making people better, it just helps you feel more fulfilled and just, like you said, just more excited about waking up and doing that every day.
100%. It's funny. I started a podcast about 2 months ago in response after this COVID thing happened. Someone who knew me, one of my clients or ex-clients or something, called up my wife, who's my business partner, and said, "Does Kellen have a podcast?" Because they were looking for, you know, motivation or something or other. And she said, yeah. So we started that about 50 something days ago. And it's called Your Ultimate Life. And it's really focused on living a purpose-driven life, serving using your divine nature and gifts. And so that's kind of what I do. I started that in, you know, in response to that question, but it's just one more thing that I do because that's who I am, what I believe in, that kind of thing you said.
That's awesome, man. So how did you get involved with the Keep Smiling movement, and what about it aligned most with you?
So Ken called me. One of my clients introduced me to him. They had done a book with him, and she introduced me to him, and he did some research on me, I guess, and called and asked if I wanted to do a book. And so I did. That was several months ago. I've since met with him and Barry and some others and done some work with them to help them with marketing and launching different parts of it. And because of my coaching and business work, that's what I do also. So I've been a little bit more involved than just doing a book, but that's how I got there, through a client and through Ken asking if I wanted to, based on what he found about what I was about.
Awesome, man. So how do you spread smiles the most?
How do I spread smiles the most? Well, first of all, I smile a lot. And I do it not because I have to, but because I truly live in a state of joy. My wife's name is Joy, and that's a whole nother divine intervention story. I'd been in and out of ruined relationships because of my depression and struggles and everything else until 13 years ago. And as part of that whole change that I described, she showed up, and her name is Joy, and she is the light of life for me. Because I do that, then when I say do that, I mean live in an intentional focus to see who I can help today. I have a sign on my wall that says I never look for clients. I look for people to love, opportunities to serve, and problems to solve. And that's what I mean. And so because that's what I do, I smile and I live in that place of joy. So I remember to smile. I try to get people to smile. Every interaction I have with somebody, I try to leave them one rung up the ladder of consciousness, up the ladder of happiness. And that's what I do.
That's beautiful, man. That's really the best way to live. So you had a very long journey dealing with depression. Like, what are some of the things that helped you overcome that?
My journey started when I was young, in my early teens, and grew up in a very strict, we'll call it strict, but today would be felony child abuse sort of household, a lot of corporal discipline, and internalized the notion that I was not good enough. So I internalized that, spent my whole life, even though I was blessed with gifts and talents, trying to prove that I was okay. I made a lot of money, did a lot of big this and that. But at the same time, behind the scenes, struggled with not feeling okay, feeling inadequate, not good enough, no matter what the outside said. So that led to a duplicity, leading two lives. It led to a lot of dark places like addictions and rehab centers and all of that sort of stuff. And I didn't know. I was also taught never to talk about your family stuff. So I never talked to anyone until I was in my 50s. So I lived that way, quietly doing these gigantic peaks and valleys of creating massive success, destroying it all, and then starting over again repeatedly, like three or four times during that 35 years from 20 to 55. 55, which was, or 54, when I started this other journey, I finally started to talk to someone, realized that I had been struggling with depression all my life and explored all kinds of different things, meditation. I tried different kinds of medication. Currently, I'm not using any pharma, but some naturopath stuff, but just exploring ways to, with awareness and behavior, deal with this depressive feeling. But the biggest and most important thing is coming to the realization that the I'm not good enough thing is a myth. And that was the biggest thing for me.
That's huge. There really is no good enough. Like, we're all the same when it comes down to it. Like, there's nothing different between the billionaire sitting over there, between the person working at the gas station. We're all the same. We're all the same when it comes down to it.
100%. 100%. And someone has done different things in their life. And so somebody has a lot of money. I made a lot of money too, different times, lost a lot of money, did some smart things, did some dumb things, but I am not any more important in the sight of eternity, certainly, than anybody else. And every single person drawing breath has important work to do if they want to listen and respond.
Absolutely, man. So this is something that I find fascinating, and I love asking all of my guests this. Where does confidence come from for you?
Confidence comes because I now know, after this journey, that I'm a child of God, and as such, I have infinite capability. And because I know that, I don't think it, I don't wonder it, I know that's true, then I'm confident. And I don't mean arrogant. That doesn't mean everything I do works. It doesn't. I'll do things that don't work and things that do work, but there's no longer an equal sign between something working or not working and my value as a person. And I used to have a big equal sign there. If it didn't work, I sucked. And if it did work, that meant I was cool. And because I didn't always control if something worked or not, it was really confusing and scary, because that meant you didn't know day to day if you sucked or not. And that's not true when you equate success or failure with your value. And so learning that and implementing that in my own life is where I get confidence.
Awesome. So you really grabbed on to your faith and just getting really clear on your, on like your core values then.
I did. And then after all that stuff, 2 years ago, I contracted, and we're talking about this COVID bug right now, with, you know, the mortality rate is 1% or 6% or 10%, depends on the country and the reporting and all that whole business. The superbug I contracted 2 years ago has a 10-day mortality rate of 100% if you weren't in the hospital, and 60% if you were. So I was in a coma for 3 weeks and I died. And I had three conversations with God at the door between life and eternity. And I've written 13 books, and that's one of them. And that gave me some information and perspective that it is what it is. And so it's not a question of faith anymore. I've seen some things. So I know some stuff that lets me laugh and enjoy life and every day in a way that I couldn't possibly have before.
Beautiful, man. So what do you wish that you would have known when you had started your entrepreneurial journey?
I wish I'd known the five. I gave a talk and a couple of different times in the last few months to different groups of entrepreneurs, and I talk about the five essential skills for entrepreneurs, and none of them are what you think. The first one, and these are the things I wish I'd known. Number one is take responsibility. It's my life. It's my business. Nobody's coming. You know, I have to take responsibility. Number two is accept and deal with head trash. And that is that noise on your shoulder, the not good enough, the old stories, the doubter, the naysayer. You have to accept that that's going to happen and deal with it. Number three is learn to meditate. That might sound a little funny having anything to do with entrepreneurship, but your ability, our ability as humans to sit quietly and connect with intuition and spirituality is whatever religious construct you put around it, but the essence of higher power is fundamental. Number four is to learn to love yourself. So many people walk around trying to say they love other people, but if they look in the mirror and say to their own eyes, I love you, they can't do it. So learn to love yourself. And number five is have fun. So those are the five things I wish I'd known umpteen years ago.
That's awesome. If you're not having fun, it's going to be really, really, really hard to keep doing it.
You got that right.
So were there what were some of your other business journeys that you had before you got set on coaching?
So I worked in the electricity business, first for utilities, like, the gas and electric company, whoever that was. I worked for Arizona Public Service and Pacific Gas and Electric and Idaho Power. Then that turned into deregulation when they tried to make electricity like buying cell phone service. You can buy it from whoever you want instead of your local utility. So I did that. I also owned a recording studio for 30 years and have worked with a lot of interesting people and a few famous people. I've done martial arts, not only studied, but also owned a martial arts studio for a little while. I'm a music teacher. I've taught piano and voice and theory and composition, because I had a passion for music ever since I was little, played piano since I was five. those are probably the main. So I've written a lot of music also and have a lot of albums out. And as an author also, I've written a lot of books. So I guess those are all the different kinds of things that I've done.
That's awesome. So you've done a little bit of a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm still in the middle. I've got three books that are underway right now. I've got two albums. I have a recording studio still. So I've got a couple albums I'm finishing up in the next couple of months that are thematically tied to two of the books that I wrote. So they're underway. I've just started a new YouTube channel called Your Ultimate Life, creating YouTube videos, helping people understand what it takes to create the ultimate life, a life of freedom, prosperity, and joy. So yeah.
That's awesome, man. So how does the entrepreneurial world stack up to the music business?
The music business is really hard. It always has been. Back when I first started the studio in the early 80s, then the gig was anybody trying to do music would do some kind of a demo. If they could do it in their living room or their garage, or if they could afford a little studio time, they'd go do a demo in the studio and try to get it to somebody in some record company and get a record deal. Today, because recording is all digital and you can do it on your computer, you can't do that sort of stuff anymore. It has to be really well produced. The bar's gone way, 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 way up. You can't turn in garage stuff anymore because it's too easy to make it really good.
Yeah.
The thing that makes music really difficult then and now is there are so many people that think they ought to be rock stars. And there's a million zillion people who now create and release stuff. And that's fine. They should, if that's what they want to do. But because there's so much, it is exceedingly difficult to catch an audience, to build a tribe, and to make a living if you want to as an entrepreneur. So trying to create another subgenre of techno or house or dubstep or whatever, or what, and make a name and make enough money either selling music or a political viewpoint or merch, or it's just really difficult, and so more so than most businesses.
So what do you do to stand out then?
I don't worry about standing out as a musician. So I'm not focused on, I do the music connected with, it's pop stuff. Like I've done all kinds of stuff, EDM and a bunch of other, but the stuff I'm doing right now is 3 to 5 minute songs with a message, with lyrics, but they're thematically tied to the book. So that's message. And I'm not trying to stand out in that way. What I do to stand out as a coach, which is my primary business, is I'm really clear about what is required. So for example, people come to me, there's two kinds of things. There's something called the goal line, which is where your goals are. I got to make this much money. I got to sell this many pieces of real estate. I got to get this promotion. I got to, whatever the goals are. And then there's a thing called the soul line, which is how you approach life. And what I've discovered is that every barrier on the goal line, every goal that you think you want that you're not achieving is a problem on the soul line, meaning there's something wrong with how you look at yourself or life or whatever. And if you fix that, the goals get really easy.
And so that's so probably why you go back to meditation so much then.
Yeah.
Makes sense. There's a huge amount of power in self-reflection. And I think too many people as entrepreneurs, they focus too much on everybody else and not as much on what's going on with them.
You're 100% right. You can't control anyone else and you can control yourself. And so what you're saying is 100% right. All the there are no problems on the goal line. There's some challenges. There's some projects. There's paths that you have to travel. The only barriers are on the soul line, which is the name for how you look at yourself, your heart, your life, your attitude, your mindset. All those words are that vertical axis.
Awesome, man. So really quick, if you could go back and have a conversation with yourself, what is the one thing that you would make sure you understood?
Oh, man. If I could, just one thing, it's really easy. And that is, you are okay. You are okay like you are. The idea, I'll be okay when, or I'll be good enough when this is done, I'll be happy when. That is the biggest disease, dream killer, motivation killer that I have ever experienced. The one message is you're okay here now. That doesn't mean you don't have goals and things, but you don't work on them from the place of not being good enough. You work on them from the place of simply, I am where I am and I love me like I am. And I want to go over there and be that.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, man.
You're welcome.
So what is the best way for people to see more of you?
Well, Facebook, Kellen Flukiger. The only other Kellen Flukiger in the world is my son, my oldest boy. I've got a YouTube channel called Your Ultimate Life. I've got a podcast on iTunes and all the regular places called Your Ultimate Life. And my email, if people are interested in that, is coachkellenflukiger@gmail.com. The only complicated thing is you have to spell my name right.
I believe in them. We got some smart people in here. Well, thank you so much for your time today, man. If you take anything away from this, guys, is just you are okay right now. Like that's honestly one of the biggest things that I've been trying to get through a lot of people's heads is you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be perfect. You're okay just where you're at. Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Thanks for your questions. Thanks for doing what you're doing and providing the uplift, the blessing, the opportunity, the encouragement that you are to those that are your audience.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.